Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Hello, and welcome to our weekly broadcast of Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. In case you're new to the show, our charter is to convince you that at age 45 or 55, you remain in the prime of your life. You are old enough to avoid the foolishness of youth, but still young and energetic enough to accomplish big things, both for yourself and for others, and to enjoy every step along the way. There is one major caveat. To succeed from here forward, you will need to ditch self-doubt, negative thinking, and unfavorable expectations. Do you ever recall a time in our history as a nation when there was so much negativity in the air? Well, you and I don't need to join that chorus of negativity. A couple of programs back, we urged you not to blame Uncle Sam or anyone else at midlife if you're unhappy and unfulfilled. On last week's program, we encouraged you to begin thinking and behaving like a wealthy individual so that you can become one. This week's guest will explain why you and I can design and implement a custom plan to become happy and content with, without, or even despite money. Mental and physical health will help us accomplish a healthy wallet as well, but wealth alone does not guarantee lifelong happiness. Indeed, a wise initial step is to ponder precisely what makes you happy. If you don't have a clear, unclouded vision of what brings you joy and fulfillment, it will prove difficult, if not impossible, to develop plans and launch your journey in the right direction. I suggest you don't depend upon friends, neighbors, your employer, the government, or anyone else to define happiness for you. You need to become the world's foremost expert on what makes you happy and content. Once you define your very own true happiness goals, the next stage is to build self-esteem and adopt an unrelenting, upbeat outlook on the future. To paraphrase an old real estate maxim, it's all about attitude, attitude, and attitude. Our guest on today's program, Daryl Noack, defines the self-discovery process as mastering a healthy self-image. Daryl is a sought-after motivational coach, speaker, and best-selling author of a book with the same title, Mastering a Healthy Self-Image, the Guidebook to Real Happiness and Success. He rose from an impoverished youth lacking in self-esteem and transformed himself into a self-assured millionaire entrepreneur who retired young, but he certainly hasn't retired from life. Daryl is here today to help guide you and I at midlife to a similar unstoppable self-confidence and a healthy self-image. Hello, Daryl, and welcome to our program.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate being here.
Well, let's begin with the seeming contradiction. On your website, you mentioned that a healthy mind and body helps a person achieve a healthy wallet, but that money can't buy happiness. Please explain to our listeners how you define true wealth.
Well, I believe in prosperity, so I don't want to mislead anybody and say that I don't believe that we should attain a level of prosperity that gives us a comfortable life. I just don't believe in excess and the pursuit of excess to the point that money, you know, as they say, money now owns me rather than I own the money.
Yes, we certainly, when we listen to the radio or TV and hear about all these celebrities who have miserable times with and unhappy wealthy heirs and people like that, there certainly is more to life than just wealth.
Well, and I certainly don't mean to pick on any one particular thing, but when you said wealthy heirs, Not that she hasn't made some of her own money, certainly, by now, but I just was reading an article of a young person right now that, you know, is heir to the Hilton Hotel chain. And, you know, I was reading an article of that she now just got access back to the Wynn Hotel chain in Las Vegas. Ooh. That they, she, because of her drug use, which, you know, why would people use drugs at that age with that kind of money except to alter their state? And because of her drug use, because of her association with a drug dealer, they asked her not to come into their hotel chain for a period of time.
Huh. I'll be darned.
So, obviously, you know, last I heard her do an interview, she was making somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 to $70 million a year off of her endorsements.
I can
obviously
live on that.
Money does not buy happiness.
No, and I always define wealth as, the value of wealth is really the freedom to choose. You don't have to worry about earning a living. Not that there's anything wrong with that if you can have fun doing it, but it gives you the freedom to choose precisely what you're going to contribute to others and what you're going to do with the rest of your life. And that's the true prize as far as I'm concerned.
I think that is some great wisdom, and I really believe in that as well.
Let's get down to where the rubber meets the road. If, like me, a few years back when I was in my mid-40s, a listener may be burdened by 20 or more years of past disappointments and frustrations, can you offer suggestions for blotting out negative thinking and rebuilding self-esteem and an upbeat attitude?
Well, you know, we all have to change the way we speak to ourselves. You know, so much of our society, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, is built on negativity. You cannot turn the television on today, and a majority of it is negativity. We've got to stop.
We're about one step away from financial crisis, or the dollar's about to crash, or government regulation is removing incentive for innovation, or most people are on the dole waiting for the government to bail them out. All these negative conversations
exactly.
are constantly on TV.
And, you know, we've just got to stop putting all of that into our head. And, you know, I have a little affirmation card that I give out to people, and it literally starts the change of the way you start talking to yourself.
Well, that's interesting.
It says on it, I like myself. I love my life. I'm excited. I'm happy. I'm healthy. And I add brightness to the life of everyone I meet. That doesn't say I add negativity to the life of everyone I meet. It says I add brightness to the life of everyone I meet.
Well, you know, it's very interesting, that card you mentioned. A few years ago, I was had several businesses that failed, and I was just at my wit's end, and I went to a counselor that I don't know if you call him a motivational counselor. He looked at me and said, well, if you truly believe things will get better, they probably will, and if you don't, they probably won't. And at the time, I was deeply offended that he would be offering such simple-minded advice. But, you know, in retrospect, he hit the nail right on the head, because it's all about that. What you think is going to happen.
The, you know, life isn't as complicated as we try to make it out to be. There are some laws of life that if we learn those laws of life and we learn to live by those laws of life, then we will truly be in alignment with life, and it'll be a much easier life. It'll be a much happier life. But if, you know, one of the things that we all, you know, because we watch television and in 30 minutes or an hour, it passes somebody's whole life behind in front of us. And so because of that 30-minute to an hour life going by, that sets an unrealistic expectation for our life in that we think that life is going to just flow like a waterfall that quickly. And, you know, when we go out to do something, and, you know, you mentioned being a business owner. I've been a business owner for 35 plus years, and I know every business that I took to the levels that I took it to, they took years to perfect and to get to the point of being profitable. Not weeks, but, you know, in accounting, they tell you that you should expect 3 years before you turn a profit in a business.
Yes,
so why would anything else be different?
And the secret to life is, even if there's challenges in starting a business up, you have to enjoy yourself while you're meeting the challenges rather than just keep thinking about the goal. Well, you keep thinking about the goal, but why not enjoy yourself while you're doing it?
Exactly. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the pursuit of greater things in life. But, you know, I designed a gratitude coin that I give out to people also. And the reason I designed that gratitude coin was for me, is I was already on my fifth company that I'd taken national and international in my lifetime. I already was, my company at the time was probably grossing somewhere over $300 million a year. And I kept saying to myself, I'm going to really be happy when I'm grossing $500 million a year or whatever that next number was.
Yeah.
And then when I get there, I'd say, well, you know, I'm going to be even happier when I get to this next level. And one day I said to myself, you must stop that mindset right here, right now. And I said, I need something that I can touch every day that will remind me to be more grateful and live, as they say, in the present, right here, right now, excited, happy, healthy, and, you know, just excited to get up every morning.
Yes, I think it's great the way you've introduced that gratitude coin to the both young children and also the third graders, I think, and also high school students, because it's so important that children learn that young.
Well, you know, I think that, to me, that is probably one of the secrets of my excitement for life is, and I learned the lesson that the more I do for other people, the happier I become.
Boy,
if my life is all about what next car I can drive and what next bigger house I can buy, or you know, what vacation house, or can I buy two or three vacation houses? Can I put four or five more gold chains around my neck? None of that is what really brings happiness. It's what you do for other people and the amount of it.
I like that old experiment they did in high school and the science where they'd pour water into a container connected to another container, and they always settle to the same level. And you can't have your little container filled with happiness if the people around you have a real low level of happiness. It tends to sink to a common level, and that certainly is what you're saying there, that you have to give as well as receive.
You know, that's been a historic statement for centuries, that it's better to give than to receive. And,
yeah. And
you know, for a long time, I chased money as my yardstick for a long time. And I had a lot of good times, but when I really felt that depth of contentment was when I really started focusing on what can I do to bring brightness into the life of another human being.
Well, let's build on. Once you master the formula for true wealth, how do you bring along spouse, family members, social friends, colleagues at work? Can you recommend some personal habits or habits that you can do to enhance both personal and professional relationships with others and encourage them to join in prosperity?
Well, you know, there's an old saying, especially in the business field, but it's true in personal life also. is you can't just speak it, you have to live it. And so the best way to bring another person along is to live by example. You know, if you're going to be a good leader, which that's what you're going to be if you want to help other people, you have to lead by example, not by what you say. You know, the old saying of telling your kids, do what I say, not what I do.
Yes.
They don't hear that. They live what you live.
Yeah, that's for certain. Well, you suggest in your press release that we start dreaming our excellent life into reality. Now, that sounds great, but please take it one step further and give us, if you could, some pointers on actually converting dreams into solid goals and plans.
Well, you know, the first thing that you need to do is decide what it is that you want to do. What are your goals? Where do you want to go?
Yeah.
Because, you know, just having a nicer home or a nicer car, or, you know, those are not solid enough goals to really lead you, to give you the passion to want to get there. And so you got to be specific. What is it that I want? Where is it that I'm going? And you need to write that down. That's the first step.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information out there that says if you verbalize a goal, you'll be more likely to accomplish it than if you don't verbalize that goal. But
yeah,
if you write a goal down, you're 10 times more likely to accomplish it. So, you know, writing out a plan, but, you know, being specific. I mean, you don't have to write out a, you know, minute-by-minute plan, but, you know, making a decision that I'm going to start donating a certain amount of my time to the local Boys and Girls Club or to the local hospital, or, you know, I'm going to start building a business and I want to be making $100,000 a year within the next 2 years at this business. You know, that now you're starting to get specific.
Yeah.
Here's the business I want to be, and, you know, as an example, in today's society, I believe that if you're really good at whatever you do, you can build a business to, you know, let's say you want to be an auto mechanic. I believe you can start an auto mechanic business, and I think you can be making $100,000 a year as an auto mechanic within a couple of years if you're focused and you give great service.
Yeah.
You know, service is something that is almost non-existent in a lot of places today. You know, I went to a restaurant last night, and I have some experiences where I'll go to a restaurant and just have an absolutely wonderful person waiting on me and taking care of me. And the young lady that was waiting on me last night didn't look me in the eye, didn't really have any kind of reasonable conversation with me. She was very short, very curt. How do you expect to have exceptional returns when you give that kind of an attitude out?
Yeah, isn't it amazing when you go to a restaurant, you can always tell almost instantly whether the person who's serving you really enjoys what they're doing and wants to be there or whether they don't. And no matter how good the food is, if the waiters and waitresses aren't really in the business to serve you and are really enjoying themselves, you really don't want to go back to that place.
Without a doubt. And, you know, no matter what you're doing, let's say you are waiting on tables. Let's say you're doing whatever it might be, and it's not your ideal scenario, but here's what you've decided you want to do. Now you've made a decision. Here's where I want to be in a few years. Here's where I'm at right now. This is not my ideal position, but the best way for you to advance yourself is to change your attitude. And, you know, when I started saying to me, Daryl, you have to change your attitude. You have to change the way you talk to yourself, and you have to change the way you present yourself to the world. And when I took the personal responsibility that it was my responsibility to make those changes and not the rest of the world to change, that's when my life started really getting into high speed.
Yeah, and isn't it amazing how other people respond when they know a person has a positive self-attitude and has some definite goals in mind, and you ask for help or assistance in some manner or maybe an introduction or something like that, how eager they are to help, as opposed to somebody on a street corner that asks for money with no particular goals or plans for the future and a negative outlook and attitude that you can just see in that person. And it's so fun to help somebody that wants to help themselves.
It is. It absolutely is. I truly believe that if we take a look at ourselves and we start learning to enhance our attitude, you know, literally, if we start learning to smile, like you said earlier, something that seems like, why are you giving me this simple answer to life when life is so complicated? And here's one of the best things you can do for yourself in life is consciously get yourself to smile several more times a day. Just consciously catch yourself and think of something that will make you smile. That
well,
will
you're
really
me smile
start
right
thinking.
Now over the phone because your advice is so sound there that just putting a smile on your face, even if it's kind of forced, still makes you feel better. I know.
Well, you know, they've proven that if you open your lips and show your teeth, just that muscle change releases endorphins in your blood system, and that makes you feel better. So, but, you know, one of the things I tell people is if I smile as I'm walking down the street, someone almost invariably will smile back at me. And when I know that I have helped someone else feel a little bit better by smiling, that makes me feel better. So it's a good practice to get into. Just
yeah,
consciously
I go for
smile.
I go for walks several times a week, and I notice how much better I feel if I smile at people I meet on the street. And like you say, you always get 99% of the time a positive response back. And it just, you're adding to the goodwill in the world rather than subtracting from it. And it's an amazing difference.
Well, you know, one of the things that I started doing is as you know, I started passing out this gratitude coin. If I were at a restaurant or if I, you know, go to the dry cleaners or I go to the auto supply place or, you know, just wherever I'm at, if somebody opens a door for me and holds it open, I pull a gratitude coin out of my pocket and I say, listen, I know you didn't have to do that for me, but here's a little token of my appreciation, and I pass a gratitude coin out.
And
you know,
people can buy those gratitude points on your website. I noticed so if they wanted, if our listener wanted to point out a gratitude coin, they could get one.
They are available, and I swear handing out gratitude coins has changed my life to the more positive more than I believe it has to the people that I've given them to. Every day I get people telling me, oh, you've made my day, you've made my week, that I've never had something like this. This is so wonderful because I made a point of saying thank you to them. I made them feel special.
Yeah, years ago when I was a young teenager, I was out visiting my grandfather in Sacramento, California, and when the man came to pick up the garbage, my grandfather was friendly and nice and thanked him warmly for picking up the garbage, and I'll always remember that. The guy smiled back, and it obviously just made his day that, you know, somebody that most everyone ignores, the garbage person, had received recognition for serving others, and that was a real example for me.
I mean, you know, what a better person to be saying thank you. I mean, you know, for most of us, we don't want to be the garbage man. So for the person that takes that responsibility, we certainly should be saying thank you.
Yeah. Well, at most of us at mid-career, changing the subject a bit, we'll probably continue, unlike you, we'll continue working for somebody else rather than starting our own business. But please offer listeners some secrets to finding more fulfillment at work, either if they're in a dream job or starting at the bottom, and they may have to start at the bottom of today's economy. But how do we find fulfillment working for somebody else and hopefully even have fun while earning a living?
Well, I think that it all starts by having that great smile, learning to be the very best you can be. Let's say that you're going to work and you're going to fold clothes for the day. That's your job, is folding clothes all day long. Probably not the most stimulating job in the world, but you know, you could become the best folder of clothes in the world. You could be so good at it that everyone in the business notices how good you are at folding clothes. And the more recognition you get because you are so good at it, you take so much pride in folding those clothes, you'll start to feel good about what you're doing because you are the best person that is folding those clothes in that place of business. Everybody will tell you that you are. The bosses will notice. And when you're the best there is, even if it's just folding clothes, you'll start going up the ladder. Your life will change when you say, I am going to be the best at what I'm doing. I'm going to be happy at what I'm doing. I'm going to be smiling, folding the very best fold that money can buy.
Like my counselor said, if you truly believe you're going to have a better future and be happy, you probably will, and most certainly will. Well, unfortunately, we're just about out of time, but before we go, can you give our listeners a place where the best place they can buy your book, and also tell them about this workshop you have scheduled in October in Orlando, I believe it is, that some of them may want to attend?
Well, it actually has changed to November, but... The lady that's putting it on, I'm putting on a seminar in October in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, I see.
But I'm going to be speaking at a seminar in November. But the best place to find where you can find me is TrueWealthUniversity.com. At TrueWealthUniversity.com, it has my schedule. It has where you can get anything that I have to offer. Barnes & Noble, Amazon, all those places, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I would highly recommend Daryl's book, Mastering a Healthy Self-Image. And I also recommend you read that along with my own book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, because both provide highly practical guidelines to a joyful and productive life from this day forward. And thank you, Daryl, so much for taking time out from your busy schedule to speak with us today. And good luck on your seminars and your book, and hope people are listening and will take heed, because there is a bright future ahead.
I truly believe that life is full of brightness.
Continuing a new feature we launched on last week's program, here's a website recommendation for this week. On several recent programs, we've talked about career transition or job search in middle age. In my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, I suggest you take a mental vacation away from that job you don't admire or your frustrating job search to define your dream job and prepare yourself to land it. Our second guest today is just the person to help you accomplish successful career transition. Our guest is Joel Garfinkel, founder and CEO of Dream Job Coaching. Hello, Joel, and welcome to our Internet Talk Radio show.
Looking forward to speaking with you.
Tell us about Dream Job Coaching and how your services differ from those of a traditional job search counseling.
Well, one of the key things I look at is always focusing on fulfillment. I think that the key thing in finding a dream job, finding a career that aligns to who you are, is that you got to look at what is fulfillment look like for you. Too often I get clients who've been doing the same work for 15, 20 years. They had the success, and now they're like, okay, I have had the success. Now what does fulfillment look like? How do I find something that's going to align to me, align to who I am? And it takes a lot of courage to do that.
Yes, it's so different just going out and going on the internet and looking for a job similar to what you had before, or basically in desperation, versus really deciding what you would really enjoy doing to earn a living the rest of your life and what you're really talented and good at and like to do.
Exactly. I mean, there's a distinction in that we end up graduating from our college and doing some job that someone either recommends to us, or we do something that our father or mother told us to do, or we do something that we just fall into, and then
how
we get
you
pretty...
know?
What?
That's exactly what I did.
There you go. And then the problem is that we end up just doing that work, and we get pretty good at it, and you're skilled at it, and next thing you're getting paid for that. And it's hard to turn your back on that. It's hard to go say, okay, what are my gifts and talents, and how can I find work that I'm passionate about? It takes a tremendous amount of dedication and commitment and a willingness to do something different with the possibility that it's not going to be as secure and comfortable as what you've done in the past.
Yeah, I like your comparison of a person looking for a job to a sports star. Often they're highly talented individuals, but they need a coach like you to help direct your efforts, just like a sports athlete needs a coach to direct their efforts to identify the talents and to bring those out and how to apply them.
And one thing I add to that is, because sometimes people think of coaches as someone who, you know, holds you accountable and helps you create the results and be focused on a very defined objective, and that's true. The other element that a coach brings is knowledge and expertise. And for me, I've been doing this for 17 years, so same thing as a sports coach. Often the great coaches out there sometimes are great athletes themselves because they've been through what that person has gone through, and they understand what works and what doesn't. They understand how to get, for me, it's understanding how to get to your gifts and talents. So when you understand that, you know how to align your actions and decisions based on those gifts and talents, which is who you are, and then line that up to a passionate subject matter that you're interested in, and you're going to be doing a career that really aligns to who you are. But
yeah,
you need to have someone who can coach you through that process.
I bet you counsel a lot of frustrated clients in their 40s and 50s about midstream career change. That is possible, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's surprising. A lot of people come to me in their late 40s, early 50s, and they say, and there's a lot of shame and embarrassment. It's like, I shouldn't be talking to you. I should have known what I was supposed to do when I grew up. And it's like, no, you don't understand. Majority of my clients are your ages, because when they're in their early 20s, all they want to do is make money and have a job, for the most part.
And
it's
get
not
through
until
the weekend.
Yeah. And then it's like not until 15, 20 years into a career that they kind of wake up. And sometimes it's earlier, but that's generally what I see. A lot of clients come to me at the mid-age part of their lives, and they're looking more at the tail end of their lives and saying, what do I want in the second half of my career? And
tell us about, on your website, you offer free assessments, one called Looking for a Dream Job and the other Searching for a Job. And anything free, and it sounds very valuable. Tell us a little about those.
Well, the one of them is about the job search, and that's more about resumes and interviews and networking. And basically the assessment gives an idea of, based on the kind of 10 different areas that you look at in a job search, like networking, resume, interview skills, how well are you from 1 to 10 in that category, so that you can do a quick assessment. And we can look at what are the areas you're weak in and what are the areas you need to grow in and be better at. Same thing with a dream job assessment, except that's focused on your dream job. So do you know your gifts and talents? Do you know your passions? Do you know the barriers that are standing in your way from understanding the key thing that limits you from moving forward to going after your dream job? And so there's different sections, and you can just fill them out, and you can look at and get an assessment of where you're at in the process for yourself.
Yes, and also on your website, you've written a number of books, and you have workshops and other things that people might be interested in.
I do. I have 7 different books, one directly related to finding your dream job and how to land a dream job. I've actually done about 50, 60 different iterations of that book. It's I'm constantly updating it based on the client feedback I receive. And so the great thing about it is that you're getting a book that's the best it's ever been, because every client I've ever talked with and every situation I've ever dealt with, the book keeps getting expanded, and it's really just in time. I take 2 composite characters and really focus on them throughout the book, so it feels like you're doing the process with 2 other people who are just like you.
Oh, that's fascinating.
And that's the Land Your Dream Job book.
Yeah, and what's your website address for people who are interested?
It's a dreamjobcoaching.com.
Okay. You know, I'd highly recommend you go to that. I went to Joel's website, and it's certainly that has a lot of information there and those assessments we mentioned. And thank you so much, Joel, for joining us on today's program. I highly recommend his website, dreamjobcoaching.com, if you're frustrated with what you're doing right now and you want to have fun for the rest of your time earning a living. And I also continue to recommend the guest we had back on our July 16th program, Steve Michael, and his inspiring book, How to Die with a Smile on Your Face. Check it out on his website of the same name. And, of course, check out my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up. And thank you so much, Joel, for joining us. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
Thank you, Roy. Nice talking with you.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.